My name is Megan McMahon. I'm 17 years old, and today is August 1st, 2019, and I'm speaking with Joe Melendez, who is my father's old work partner. We are recording this interview in Cape Coral, Florida. So, Joe, can you tell me about an event that had a big influence on your life, and would you tell me more about this event?
Hello, Megan. As you know, my name is Joe Melendez. I worked with your partner for many years. During and after 9/11, 9/11/01, pretty much one of the worst days of my life. It was that day the terrorists took two airplanes that they hijacked and hit not one but two of the World Trade Centers, causing almost 3,000 people to die. Going that day, I remember responding to the towers and watching the towers come down and seeing people jumping for their lives in lieu of being burned to death. We were there, and as the building hit the ground, crowds of smoke came. We were forced to take shelter, your father and I, in an empty store. We broke the window of the door to get in, and we hid inside the store as the smoke went by because we weren't able to breathe. After the smoke settled down, we came back outside. We went back to the thing, back to the ruins. What was once the World Trade Center, and immediately met up with other police officers and firemen and other volunteers, and we began to comb the debris looking for survivors. We were there for, I'd say, from that morning until about 5 a.m. when we left because we were physically exhausted, and we went home to shower. We were full of dirt, debris. Me and your father, our hands were cut because we didn't have work gloves. We didn't have masks. We were coughing up, all kinds of stuff through the night. We slept for 4 or 5 hours, and I picked your dad up, and we immediately went back to the World Trade Center site, which they named Ground Zero. And we joined the chain gang on the line, and we were trying to go through the ruins, looking, hoping and praying that we could find some survivors alive. We sent another... I'd say we were there for another 20 hours that night. We went home, we slept for about 4 hours. And the next day, your father and I went down to where we were assigned to the morgue. We went down to the morgue, and after being down there for about 4 hours, they weren't finding any bodies or anything. So we got reassigned to the Staten Island landfill, where they had decided to send all the debris to be combed through to see if we could find any remains of people or any kind of their personal items that would help us to ID and give some closure to the families of the people who were still hoping and praying that they could find their loved ones alive. For the next few months, we were down there, and every day we would go down with the hopes of finding somebody still trapped alive, but no one was there. We'd be at the Staten Island dump, and your dad and I were both assigned to what they called bag and tag, where detectives would go out to a cordoned area, and they would rake through the debris, and they would put stuff into either a grape Lowe's bucket or orange Home Depot bucket, and they would bring the debris to the table, and your father and I would sort it, and we put what looked like biological parts of human bodies in one bag to the lab to send for DNA testing, and non-biological parts like guns, shields, hairbrushes, ID, wallets, anything we could find, cell phones. And we would send those up to the property clerk to be vouched and tested. And that went on for a few months. And let me tell you, going through every single day of that, you always remember that day and what happened. And, you know, now we sit back and thinking about it, and I can understand that people got PTSD from that, and through my years on the job and noticing people and how they changed throughout. People that were cops and that I worked with who used to be happy and stuff like that, and they weren't happy anymore. That you could see the smile on their face, and they just were out of it. They were thinking of other stuff. And I mean, I've lost several friends there that day. Police Officer Perry, he went through the academy with me, and he was in my sister company in the gym class, and it was his last day. He was resigning from the police department and taking a job as an attorney because he had just finished law school, and he worked really hard to get it, and it was his last day. And it always weighs on your mind. But sitting back now, and every day, and being retired and everything, and me and your father are both still from 9/11, and just to let you know that after going through this and everything, and every day we see on Facebook that people are passing away from cancers and stuff like that, and it's rare stuff that nobody really gets, and it's all attributed to being at 9/11. And I think you have one more question for me.
For your great-great-grandchildren listening to this interview years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them?
I don't regret doing what I was going down there, because I thought I was going down to save lives and hopefully bring closure to families. But I will tell you, I would never, ever trust the government again. Christy Whitman, the former governor of New York, who was in charge of the EPA at the time, came down, tested the air, and said it was safe for us. But since 9/11, I've lost hundreds of colleagues and friends from 9/11 cancers, and I'm just sorry to say, I just can't trust anything the government tells you anymore. I hope that someone actually listens to this, and hopefully no one else dies from this cancer. But I think that's about it. Anything else you want to ask me?
Thank you, Joe, for sharing that.
No problem. Tell your father I said hello, and have a good night, Megan.